Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is another update on the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. What I'm doing in this series of videos is looking at the impact on the global economy of what's going on right now. And in today's video, I want to talk about Egypt. Now, Egypt's not a country that I've covered before on the channel, so this will be more of an introductory video, but Egypt have just been through a devaluation of their currency. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've talked about devaluation before, what it entails and why it's done. So I wanted to have a look at what's been going on in Egypt to cause this devaluation. And in order to get full perspective on that, I want to go through some background on Egypt itself. We'll then talk about bread, because bread is really important to Egypt and its economy. That will lead us into talking about wheat, which is the basic food substance that is used to create bread. We'll look at what's been going on in terms of inflation and interest rates and the balance of trade in Egypt. We'll then talk about the currency and what's happened in terms of this devaluation. And then finally, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think will happen over the next 3 to 6 months in Egypt and how the problems in Ukraine are going to have an impact on this economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I always include chapters in these videos, so if there's a section you're not particularly interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find a link to both Buy Me a Coffee and also Patreon. Egypt is located in northeast Africa, but is very close to the Middle East, and the official language of the country is Arabic. The country has borders with Libya, Sudan, and Israel. And one of the most important features for the country historically was the creation of the Suez Canal, which links the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, and has been a very important trade route ever since it was created. As you might imagine, because it's located very close to the other Middle Eastern countries, it does have some oil reserves, but these are relatively small compared to a lot of the neighbouring countries, and Egypt is now a net importer of oil. It does export a lot of oil products, but it imports slightly more these days. As well as its oil reserves, Egypt also has reserves of natural gas. And alongside its energy industries, it also has a large manufacturing base where it covers a variety of sectors, including petrochemicals, textiles, food, iron and steel. The other main sources of income for Egypt are agriculture and tourism. Bread is really important to Egypt, both culturally and also in terms of diet. Bread consumption per capita is between 150 and 180 kilos per year, which is 3 times the global average. Egypt has a population of 103 million, and around a third of those are below the poverty line. Egypt has had a lot of people living below the bread line for a long period of time. And just after World War I, Egypt introduced steps to keep bread affordable when it imported wheat from Australia and sold it at a loss in government-owned shops. Subsidies on the price of bread have been kept in place and still exist today. In 1977, riots occurred all across the country when the government attempted to reduce the bread subsidies and increase the prices. And similar disturbances occurred for the same reason in 2008 and 2011. Wheat is used to create flour, which is the basic ingredient for bread. And Egypt imports 60% of all of its wheat from overseas. And in 2021, 80% of all of Egypt's imports came from Russia and Ukraine. The price of wheat has gone up significantly over the last 12 months, and particularly since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. If we have a look at this chart, we can see that 12 months ago, the average price was somewhere in the region of $210. As we track forward, we can see that there was a steady increase towards $300. And after the Russian invasion, the price spiked above $400 and has now settled at around about $375. So that represents more than a 50% increase in the cost of wheat over the last 12 months. And because wheat and bread are so important to the economy of Egypt, this is having a massive impact on both the financials and also the living standards of the people of Egypt. The Prime Minister of Egypt recently announced that the price of unsubsidized bread will be set at 11.5 Egyptian pounds per kilogram. in response to the recent price increases. Under the new pricing system, the price of a 45-gram loaf will be sold at £0.5, a 65-gram loaf at £0.75, and a 90-gram loaf at £1. This situation is being taken very seriously by the Egyptian authorities, and retailers who do not comply with the new pricing system will face a fine of between £100,000 and £5 million. Around 60% of all the people in Egypt rely upon this subsidised bread system for their main source of food. In line with every other country in the world right now, Egypt has seen increasing levels of inflation. And the most recent rate that's been announced is 8.8%. And now that compares with the government's target range of between 5 and 9%, which is significantly higher than what we talked about for other countries. If you watch the channel, you'll know that the target rate in the USA and the UK is 2%. But Egypt is classified as a developing economy, it's part of Africa, and therefore the inflation levels tend to be a lot higher in these countries. The rate of interest for bank lending is also significantly higher than we would see in other economies and was recently increased to 10.25% from the previous rate of 9.25%. The currency in Egypt is the Egyptian pound, and the exchange rate for the Egyptian pound is managed. So in the currency markets, you have a number of different options in terms of how you manage your currency. Most developed countries around the world have what's known as a free float. So the price is set entirely by the markets, and that is based upon demand and supply. So that's a familiar concept that we've talked about a lot on the channel. And the demand for a particular currency will usually relate to how attractive the products and goods from that country are to the rest of the world. So an example that we've talked about a lot on this channel is Turkey and the Turkish lira. And the problem that Turkey has is that it doesn't have a lot of natural resources. So other countries don't necessarily need to buy anything from Turkey, and therefore there's very little demand for the Turkish lira. And we've seen the value of the Turkish lira fall around 50% over the last 12 months. So the floating rate of setting a currency level is only really attractive if you've got a large developed economy. Egypt has what's known as a managed float. So the currency is floating, it can move around on the currency markets, but the Central Bank of Egypt will look to manage the exchange rate within defined levels. So if they see the level falling beyond a certain point, then they will step into the currency markets and start buying the Egyptian pound to keep it at a certain level. Since the Russian invasion of Ukraine started, the Egyptian pound has come under a lot of pressure. Overseas investors who put money into Egypt have been concerned that the value of the Egyptian pound could fall, and therefore the value of their investments would fall. So since the war started, there has been a lot of money that has been taken out of Egypt. And in response to this, the central bank has now devalued the Egyptian pound. Prior to the devaluation, the Egyptian pound was trading at a rate of around 15.7 to $1, and the devaluation has reset that exchange rate to around 18.2 pounds to the dollar, which represents a fall of about 14%. So essentially what has happened here is that the Egyptian central bank have sent a message out to the international markets to state that they will now be setting their benchmark level at around 18.2 to $1. So that's the target rate that they will now try to manage the Egyptian pound around. Now, they could have just let the currency drift in the markets to this level. However, that would have caused even more concern amongst overseas investors, and there could possibly have been a run on the currency, and we could have seen the valuation fall significantly. So what they've done is they've bitten the bullet. They've said, we are going to take a one-off hit here. We will reset the valuation of the Egyptian pound to 18.2 versus 15.7, and that is now the new exchange rate. So they've officially devalued the Egyptian pound in the international markets. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to talk about Egypt because it's important to see how widespread this geographic influence of what's happening in Ukraine actually is. This is having a global impact. It's impacting on lots and lots of different countries all around the world for entirely different reasons. And the main impact for Egypt has been on the price of wheat. The Egyptian people are very dependent upon bread for their diet, and they import a large amount of wheat. And historically, they've imported that wheat directly from Ukraine and Russia. Now, Russia recently put a ban on the export of all food products, and obviously Ukraine are not exporting anything at the moment. So Egypt have seen their main two suppliers disappear overnight. And at the same time as that, they've also seen the price of wheat in the international markets rise significantly. So that's had a major impact on the economy of Egypt because they're buying in huge amounts of wheat. But the shortages that they're now potentially facing could have even bigger ramifications. When we've seen problems with wheat and bread in the past in Egypt, it's caused social unrest and rioting. And it's possible that we could see something like that occur again if we see either the price of bread spiking or there is no bread, there's no wheat available. So the authorities have stepped in and actually set a price for all of the bread. They've now put a maximum amount on the subsidized bread, and they've also devalued the currency. Now, Egypt have also announced that they're going to the IMF for a bailout. So they need to get some funding to keep the country alive, to keep everything moving. And this isn't the first time that Egypt have been to the IMF for a bailout, but they're not proud. They're happy to go and say, we need money to keep our economy moving. And they'll now be taking another significant loan from the IMF. So this shows the ramifications of what's happening in Ukraine. It's not just isolated to Eastern Europe or Europe. This is Africa and the Middle East that's being affected. And it's likely that every single country in the world will feel the negative impact of this conflict. The longer it goes on, the more wide-reaching and the bigger the damage will be for all the countries in the world. This is really bad news for the global economy. It's happening on an individual level, such as what's going on in Egypt, but it's also happening on a much wider, bigger scale. And it will cause a reduction in GDP globally in 2022. And we don't know when this conflict will be over and how long the implications will run for. So hopefully you found today's video interesting. I wanted to post something a bit different, not just talking about Russia and Ukraine and Europe and the USA. I wanted to have a look at a different country, give you a slightly different perspective, and show you the negative impact that this war is having. Okay guys, we're now at that part of the video where the only people still watching are the hardcore fan base. So hi, thank you for doing that. And I wanted to follow up on a posting that I made just recently about YouTube. So I started my YouTube channel around about 18 months ago, and it took me some time to find my stride and to be able to focus in on exactly what it was that I wanted to produce videos about. And I wanted to reach out because I know that there's a lot of people who watch this channel who have time on their hands. Maybe you've either sold your business or you've retired, or you've just decided that you don't want to work so much and you want to have a bit more free time. And I know that there's a lot of talent out there. And I know when I was in that position, I was looking for something that was really challenging, stimulating, exciting, but also that you could do as a sort of part-time career. And I found YouTube and I think it's absolutely amazing. And YouTube is one of the biggest platforms in the world for creators of everything. Now, fundamentally, I'm an entrepreneur and a businessman. So we talk a lot about business on this channel and other people's business, but I love doing business. And YouTube is a business. You can make money from YouTube. And I wanted to reach out and encourage as many people as possible to start making some videos. Now, you could do this on your own. You could set up your own YouTube channel in exactly the same way as I've done. Build up your base of followers, and at some point in the future, you will start getting paid for those videos. But it takes quite a long time, and it's quite a hard road. And at times, it can be quite demoralizing because you work for a long time on a video and you post it and nobody watches it, and it does make you feel like giving up. So I've got a couple of ideas that might be of interest to you as a business opportunity. My platform at the moment has a reasonable amount of followers, and I'm trying to build that up and get to 100,000. So I recently put out a posting asking if anybody else was interested in making some financial videos that I could start showing to develop this channel into more of a news channel. But in conjunction with that, I'm now also thinking about setting up a sister channel. So Joe Blogs 2 or Joe Blogs Presents or something along those lines, and opening up that channel to absolutely everybody. So if you're thinking about making a start on YouTube or putting together a series of videos or just doing something that you love, it doesn't have to be about finance or news. It could be about absolutely anything. And my tip to you would be choose something that you're really interested in. in that you want to talk to other people about. So I'm really interested in business. I really like looking under the bonnet of stories and trying to find out exactly what it's all about, trying to find an angle, trying to find an edge, and giving people the inside track. So that's the sort of thing that I would be doing anyway as a hobby. And now what I'm doing is sharing that knowledge and information and research on YouTube, and people seem to like it. So if you've got something that you're passionate about, then I guarantee there will be other people around the world who are also passionate about this. There are 2 billion users of YouTube every single day in every country in the world. And I guarantee that whatever you're interested in, there will be other people interested in that as well. So the idea that I've got here, and this is just an idea right now, but it could be worth something, who knows, is that I set up a channel, a sister channel. I ask people to subscribe to it, so we get to the point where there are 1,000 subscribers, because that's the point you need to start getting paid. So maybe I have a hollow channel, just a shell channel, with some subscribers in there. And then within that channel, I offer the opportunity for anybody who's interested to collaborate with me, and we'll post your videos on that channel as a complete startup enterprise. So this would be the starting point for a lot of people's journey on YouTube. And if you get the confidence and you start making more videos and you're happy and you think that you've got it right, then you can always then set up your own channel at that point, because you've been through that learning curve. You've seen whether or not people are watching your videos, whether they're making any money, and then you can don't do it on your own. But in the short term, the great thing about having a platform like this is that if I can build up a user base quickly, then that means that you can start getting paid for those videos, because I will share any revenue that comes through for your videos with you directly. And then at the point when you know that it's working and you're seeing that you're getting a lot of views, then you can either decide to stay on the channel, because there's some benefits in terms of you don't have all of the admin hassle, you don't have the pressure of having to post videos every day or every week or whenever it might be. You can do it at exactly your own pace. So there's pros and cons to both arguments. But what I'm offering here is the opportunity for you to dip your toe into the world of YouTube. You can create your own video in whatever shape or form you want. You can present it exactly as you want. And if I then have a platform that can post a variety of those sort of videos, then it could just work. It might be something interesting that suddenly takes off that everybody wants to get involved in, because it's a good place to see where people are starting. You could see a variety of people's first ever videos, second ever videos, ideas that maybe are completely crazy, who knows? But that's the idea. So I wanted to share that with you, to reach out and say, look, if you're sitting at home, maybe a bit bored, or you're looking for a new challenge, or you're just thinking, I'd like something different to do with my day, then why don't you make a video? Get yourself a selfie stick or a tripod, because it's useful to be able to put your phone onto that if you don't have a camera. If you can, use a microphone, because you get a much better result with a microphone like this than you will using your phone, but you don't have to. The first 100 videos that I made were all done using the microphone on my iPhone, so you don't have to have any expensive equipment. But what you do need to do is think about what you're going to talk about, structure your video, and then make sure it's as professional as possible. If you can use some editing software, it will really help. So if you've got any Apple products, then you can use iMovie for that. Or if not, you can download really inexpensive versions of software to be able to cut your clips, to cut out all the mistakes and edits and things that you don't want in there. So have a go, see what it comes out like. And if you fancy it, then contact me. So have a look at the About section on my channel. You'll find a way of being able to contact me. And if you're interested, then drop me a line. If you think this is a good idea and something that you'd like to support, then please put a comment in the boxes below, because I'd like to know whether or not I'd be able to get at least 1,000 people to subscribe to a new channel that is going to be focused on offering an opportunity for everybody to be able to post YouTube videos and then to share the benefits of what I'm building here directly by sharing some income that is made from those videos. So hopefully you've thought that is an interesting idea. Sorry to tag this onto the end of the Egypt video, but I think that this little section at the end of videos is really quite useful for me to be able to communicate directly to you guys, the loyal audience, the people who are interested in what I'm doing, and then maybe getting you on board, bringing you on for the journey. And who knows, this time next year, you might have your own YouTube channel making some money from it yourself. So if you've liked what I've said today, then please give me that thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.